At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sentinel Online. Now loading the GeekCast radio network of podcasts.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
This is the Evergreen Forest. Quiet, peaceful, serene. That is until Bert Raccoon wakes up. Luckily, he has some good friends to help him out. Life would be simple in the forest, except for Cyril Sneer. And his life would be simple, except for the raccoon.
Welcome to the 45th episode of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, Dear June Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Optimus Solo. Hello.
I am here.
You are here, for once. Yay.
That's because I just watched all the Back to the Future, so I was ready for a DeLorean trip.
Oh, but we're not talking about Marty McFly and his family.
No, but we're getting in a DeLorean, so I set the mood by watching all the Back to the Futures. I'm ready.
Aren't you supposed to actually watch episodes of the show we're supposed to be?
Oh, I did that too.
Okay.
I multitasked.
Okay. I was going to say.
I had a friend that had never seen the Back to the Future, so I made him watch all three with me.
Wait, what?
I had a friend that had never seen the Back to the Future, so I made him watch, not all at the same day, but over 2 to 3 weeks, we watched all three movies, even the third one. You should be proud of me. And I still hate the ending of the third one. But yeah, he had never seen them, and now he has. So I did the world a favor.
Well, I mean, if they were to make a fourth film, they could just use the train.
No, it just makes no sense. I think I've already stated this on a previous podcast, but it makes no sense that the doc and the chick don't get into the DeLorean and go back to the future. Like, there was nothing wrong with that. There was no reason why they couldn't take the chick back, because she was supposed to be dead anyways. So it would not have messed anything up. There was no need for them to be on a separate trip and then come back in a train into the future. They all should have gone back together. I just hate the ending.
Okay, we need to talk about this off-air and debate this off-air, because this is a whole other discussion. Today we are jumping back into the DeLorean for another TuneCast Beyond DeLorean Time episode, with our heading set for 1985, when we talk about the Canadian cartoon The Raccoons.
Yes, sir.
Disclaimer here. This will pretty much be a Optimus Solo episode of TuneCast Beyond DeLorean
Time. Hence the
solo part
of my name.
Yeah. I tried to watch this on YouTube. I don't dislike it, but at the same time, a lot of these DeLorean Time episodes here in Season 2 of TuneCast Beyond are not for me, because, number one, I either never saw them growing up, or, number two, I just don't care.
You apathetic motherfucker.
So take it away with the history lesson.
I take that cuss back. The Raccoons, as you mentioned, is a Canadian animated television series. So in that vein, it is similar to shows that were being done at the time, like Cops, like Care Bears, Dino Saucers, The Raccoons. There's a couple other ones that were all being done by the same people in the same time frame up in Canada. So it's in that grouping. It was originally broadcast from 1985 to 1991. There was three television specials that came before it, and also a direct-to-video special that came before it. The first one of those would have been The Christmas Raccoons, which is their debut into animation. and that was my first exposure to them. I even had a, well, I'll talk to that in a sec. And then there was the Raccoons on Ice, the Raccoons in the Lost Star, and then the direct-to-video was a basically almost like a music video, The Raccoons Let's Dance. And then the series began. The franchise was created by Kevin Gillis with the cooperation of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or the CBC, as you Canadians would probably be more familiar with it. So before we get into, well, I can get into a little bit of kind of the premise of it. That doesn't really intrude on
it. Do you have any general memories of this, first of all?
Well, I mean, we usually talk about the premise real quick before we do that. Okay. And I wanted to say it's kind of like if you take your prototypical, anthropomorphic animal cartoon type show, kind of the time, and it almost has like a Smurf slash Snork slash feel, but more mature. I want to say it's like it's that show that bridges the gap between when you're watching your really like young elementary like preschool type shows like Smurfs, your Sesame Street, and that type of stuff. It comes in between those shows and then when you're getting old enough for your like, you know, your He-Man, your G.I. Joe, your Transformers, the more like, you know, like 9, 10, 11-year-old cartoons. I mean, this is in that middle section, like when you're 4, 5, 6, maybe, like between those two things. It had definitely an environmental-centric focus, which makes it kind of seem like Captain Planet, but with animals and maybe for a little bit younger crowd than Captain Planet was for. So that's my synopsis of what type of show it is. And then we can talk about general memories, which you have none of.
Yes, I've... Never, before watching a couple of clips on YouTube, I have never seen this show before.
My exposure first came via the Christmas Raccoons, which was the night, it was a repeat of this. I obviously wasn't alive when it first aired in 1980, but it apparently was rebroadcast maybe like in future Christmases or something like that, which happens often. And I somehow remember seeing that, and I also had received on Christmas at one point a ornament that had the Christmas Raccoons on them. My mom was good at getting me ornaments of stuff that I liked, and I remember I had, you know, a few with like the Get Along Gang, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, etc. And I remember raccoons being one of the ornaments I had gotten for Christmas one year. And the Christmas Raccoons, how they're introduced basically is the antagonist of the show, which we'll get to in a little bit, is cutting down all the trees in the forest, and it's up to the heroes of the show to stop it, and that's kind of why it has the Christmas edge there, because it's dealing with all the trees being cut down, Christmas trees, etc. But it introduced us to all the characters. Now, some of the voice cast has changed along the way, but that was my general memory as far as when I was exposed to it. And then I, of course, went on to watch, not religiously, it wasn't a show that I was running home from school to watch, it wasn't a show that I watched every episode of, but it was a show that occasionally I would watch. I want to say I caught it like on Saturday mornings. I'm not 100% sure that it was a Saturday morning show, but that seems to be where my memory's going with that. I don't remember necessarily seeing it on weekday afternoons, but I could be wrong with that. I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday show, though. So that's my memories of the Raccoons.
I was looking through the voice cast. There's only one name I recognize, and that is good old Len Carlson, voice of Big Boss from Cops and Ganon from Legend of Zelda.
Right.
The rest of the voice cast, I know none of them as far as what I saw on the listing on BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Well, you should recognize a few others. And if you don't, then some other people should. You mentioned Len Carlson, who I mainly remember as being Big Boss from Cops, and being Professor Coldheart from Care Bears, along with the ones that you had mentioned. The other guys I remember, Bob Dermer, who voices Ralph Raccoon. He was Grumpy Bear in the Care Bears, a variety, not every appearance of Grumpy Bear, but in the Grumpy Bear from our time, he was his voice. And he also was the voice of Sam Crenshaw from Today's Special, which is obviously a show that I like. So I do recognize Bob Dermer. He's well known in Canada. The other ones, a couple of them did shows on did voices in Cops or stuff like that, so you probably don't recognize them. But there is another one that I for sure have to bring up, and let me get to him real quick. I can't believe you didn't mention this, but there's a pretty famous young Canadian girl that voiced a character in this show.
Tara Charandoff?
Yeah, later to be Tara Strong.
Strong, yeah.
So she was in here. The other people that I remember, Susan Roman, who, besides raccoons, did some Strawberry Shortcake stuff, did some Care Bears stuff, some Sailor Moon stuff, and some Mega Man stuff. So fans of those franchises might recognize her. Marvin Goldhar did some voices on Cops and Dino Saucers. Like I said, a lot of these shows carried the same cast. Nick Nichols was in Cops. But the one that I, the two that stand out the most to me, Dan Hennessy,
mm-hmm.
who was Good Luck Bear and Braveheart Lion in the Care Bears. At a time did Chief Quimby on Inspector Gadget, amongst other people that did that voice, obviously. Turbo Two-Tone from Cops. He did the Popples and Police Academy, some Star Wars, like the Ewoks, a cartoon. So he's been around. And then Les Lye is a name I wanted to bring up. He is not necessarily known for doing a lot of voice acting, but he was one of the main adult actors on the live-action series You Can't Do That on Television. He and one other lady basically played most of the adult parts, so I remember him from more of a live-action thing, and he did a guest role on The Raccoon. So those are the voice casts that I recall. But like you said, go ahead.
Well, just from you mentioning the characters that they voice and other stuff, I would recognize the voices, like Turbo Two-Tone. Everybody knows Turbo Two-Tone's voice that watches Cops. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we've talked about this before on this show and other you know, podcasts where we've talked about voice actors, where there are sometimes you recognize a voice or you know the person by the voice, and there's sometimes where you can look at a cast and you're like, oh, Phil LaMarr, oh, Kevin Michael Richardson, oh, Tara Strong, oh, Rob Paulson, oh, Peter Cullen, Frank Welker. But just looking at this initially, outside of Len Carlson, I didn't recognize anybody, and I don't think I scrolled down far enough to see Tara's name.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And she was only, you know, a guest role, basically, so.
Yeah. Overall, would you say it was a good voice-acted cartoon? Or?
I would say for what it was, yeah. I mean, it did have it wasn't like it was a bunch of Hadley Kay did a guest role too, but it wasn't like it was a bunch of guests, like rookies doing the voices here. For the most part, it was experienced voice actors in Canada. Okay. You know, they had done quite a few shows. Some of them were, you know, older in age. So they did good at what they did. You know, I don't know if I would say that it's good compared to some of the American stuff that we were getting. I just pissed off a bunch of Canadians. You know, I have a special place in my heart for some of these guys just because I watched a lot of the shows that they were doing.
Right.
And I love Bob Dermer, and I think Len Carlson's good. So it was well voice cast. They had some unique voices, some different voices if you're just used to the American, you know, like you would, a bunch of the names you just mentioned. So I would say, you know, it was well voiced.
Yeah. And again, like I said, this was out at a time where, you know, us as kids, we paid more attention to a voice versus what the person providing the voice's name. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, we pay attention to who is doing what. Whereas in 1985, when I was 5 and you were 4, you know, we're not paying attention to that. We're paying, you know, we want to hear Barry, or is it Barry Raccoon?
Which one?
The
Bert?
Bert.
Yeah.
Bert, Barry, it begins with a B.
Bert and Ralph, no, yeah.
Right. Bert Raccoon, where we would, you know, pay attention to the voice more so than, oh, hey, that's this person. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's this person's name. And on that merit, I really do think the voice cast is superb. But just looking at this for informational purposes, in general, people would take a double take of, like, who are all these strange
people? Yeah, they're not necessarily the most name-recognized guys.
Yeah.
But some of the voices are, and like I said, they have unique voices that you might not be able to identify who's doing it, but you think, wow, that's, you know, it's not your just, like, your typical voices. Some of these guys have some crazy twist on it. And, like, Len Carlson, for example, the voice he uses for Bert Raccoon is way different than the voice he uses for some of these other characters he plays. Like, I would never think that's Big Boss from Cops. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can maybe hear, you know, if you were looking for it, if you're like, if someone tells you, hey, that's the same person, and then you listen very carefully, you might be able to say, okay, I can hear it. Yeah. But as a kid, you're not going to hear those two characters and be like, oh, that's the same person. Like you are when you hear, you know, Starscream and Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they did some good stuff with their voices.
Yep.
As far as like getting into like some of the actual characters, it's basically I'd say about a 5-person main cast here. As far as the good characters, you have Bert Raccoon, Ralph Raccoon, and Melissa Raccoon. Those are your main three, and then they have the sheepdog named Schaefer and Cedric Sneer, which is a relative of the main antagonist. So those five are usually the ones getting into all the trouble or trying to solve things or, you know, save things. And then you have Cyril Sneer, who is the, you know, the evil anti, you know, it turns into, he kind of goes through some different phases. He probably has the most character development out of anybody. But he is the main, what you would call, I guess, bad guy.
So the Sneers and the Sheepdog, why am I flashing to Sam and Ralph from Looney Tunes days?
That's a good question. yeah, Bert, like you had mentioned, he is the main one.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of energy, a lot of imagination, and he's the one that's usually seeking out adventure and causing the problems. Ralph and Melissa are a married couple who Bert lives with. It's kind of weird because they all seem kind of along the same level, but these two are married and Bert lives with them as like a house guest. Cedric, giving you the specific family relation, he is Cyril's son, which is Bert's best friend. So he's the one that's going to inherit this near fortune, but his dad's the one that's causing all, you know, most of the problems. And then Schaefer, like I said, he's a sheepdog. He's just friends with the raccoons. I don't know why. It's a weird setup because you have raccoons as the main people, right? But then you have these Sneers who aren't even animals in there. And then you have raccoons who are friends with, like, the dogs. It's just a weird, like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess Sneers are technically aardvarks. But
okay.
How many kids watching that show knew that those were aardvarks?
Yeah. The only time I've ever seen an aardvark in animation was the Ant and the Aardvark, a separate cartoon along with the Pink Panther stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get you, you stupid ant. I'm hungry.
Yeah. And this is somewhat similar to like some of the other shows that Canada was doing. They did throw humans into this like animal world, so it's not just like an animal world like you would think of with like
it's not like Lion King,
right? There are some humans in there. You have like the forest ranger Dan, who's kind of the caretaker of where they all live. You have his son and his daughter Tommy and Julie. So there are humans that are in the mix, kind of like similar to Care Bears, where there's humans mixing in with Care Bears type things. So it's not just an animal show.
Interesting.
But as far as the characters go, if I had to pick like a favorite character, it'd probably be Ralph. Bert was way more energetic and trouble-causing mischief maker, so I didn't necessarily think of him as my favorite because I was mad at him for like getting them into the trouble. And Cedric was just kind of the nerdy, like weird oddball of the group. So Ralph was kind of like the voice of reason, so I kind of was more drawn towards him. But Cyril, or some people call him Cyril, some people call him Cyril, he was a pretty good bad guy. I didn't like him, but he was a pretty, you know, down and dirty, trying to like take out the forest and just make money and evil character. So he did a good job. I just didn't like him as a kid. He was creepy.
Yeah. Well, most of the villains in cartoons were creepy to kids.
Yeah, like this extra edge though, because he's always smoking a cigar. He's a villain that you wouldn't see these days.
He's reminding me of Ralphish Ralph from Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, he almost reminds me of an evil like George Burns. That's wow. For some reason like a mix with Donald Trump wanting all the money and everything. So God,
that's priceless.
But yeah, he was an interesting bad guy, that's for sure. Canada did some interesting, unique and cool bad guys in some of their shows. You know, like the Care Bears and I want to say like some of the other stuff that they did. I want to say Rainbow Bright was Canadian too. Some of those shows. I mean, they had some interesting bad guys in the show. The weird thing is it's basically just him.
Yeah.
Later on in the series, there will be some other guys that kind of come along, and there are some like guest bad characters, but for the most part, it's him almost, it seems like every time, with no like major sidekicks that are there all the time.
Right.
Like you'll have other people that'll come in for an episode that are like trying to do this or that, but you don't have like a mainstay. Like usually you have a show with a bad guy and a couple, at least henchmen or sidekicks.
Yeah.
Not so much with this one. So that's kind of unique about it as well.
What about the overall premise of like, okay, yeah, you've mentioned that Bert likes to get into mischief and all this stuff, but is there a premise to this show? Is there? I mean, I know we all know that 80s cartoons and 70s cartoons didn't really rely on continuity like cartoons do today. But was there any like end game here? Like,
well, the constant plot line and the constant story and basically why it's maybe alluded to Captain Planet a little bit is basically Sneer is always the almost every episode he is doing something to make money. And usually the way he is doing that as the evil kind of like tycoon industrialist is...
So Sneer is loot and plunder.
Yeah, he's basically going to make money off of the forest, the evergreen forest. He's either cutting stuff down, trying to build stuff. He's somehow trying to destroy parts or whole of the forest. And it's the trio of, you know, Ralph, Melissa, and Bert who almost on an episodic basis are trying to save their forest from his plans or his schemes or whatever. Now, over time, some stuff changes, but basically it is almost like a Captain Planet where it's all about the environment and the industrial, greedy money maker, business people against the nature-friendly raccoons.
I see.
So that's what, basically, I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
So this could be nature versus technology at some point, somehow?
Not necessarily technology, more so industry and business.
Ah, okay. Nature versus greed, I see.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Damn you, Bernie Madoff. What about the music or the theme song in this? Was this... I heard the theme song, but I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. What about you? What did you get out of the theme song and stuff?
The theme song's not necessarily a one that I would write down and go back and listen to many times. I would never rank it on any of my lists.
Mm-hmm.
But music-wise, there is a lot of music connections with this. Mm-hmm. The theme song actually was sung by one of the cast members at one point. Which there's been different versions of. I guess in Canada it was big. There were other songs that were performed by people in the specials that were also doing voices. So there was an attempt to make a very strong musical connection in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just to me, none of the music stuck with me, and none of it, to me, was very memorable. But that's not to say it might not be for some other people. They did. I don't want to. There was a concerted effort by the people behind the show to tie in music, especially with the specials. Maybe not as much with the actual series proper. But like I said, there was an effort. There was a lot of music involved. To me, none of it really stuck with me as being like something special. I honestly wouldn't recognize any of the. If you played me a song from, you know, their song track or from, you know, different things from their special, I would not recognize it at all. It's the intro theme, but even then, it wouldn't be something where I was like, oh, that was a good one. So I give an A for effort, but nothing for me.
An A for effort, but an F for execution.
Yeah.
All right, getting into the legacy segment, the where are they now type of segment here. Apparently, the reception for the Raccoons was well received by critics. New York Times, in its review for their second TV special, said, quote, "The Raccoons are an adorable lot, supported nicely by an attractive production." I'm hoping there's a DVD set of this, because the clips I saw on YouTube were really poor quality, and that's not saying much in YouTube's favor. Variety praised the third special, The Raccoons and the Lost Star, calling it a rollicking good adventure filled with space-age animation, high-tech gadgetry, lifting tunes, a lovable sheepdog, and a delightful raccoons team.
I mean, it's going to be like anything of that time period. If you were environmental friendly and pro and everything, and the people, you know, the parents couldn't find something to bitch about, then you're going to get a good reception, good, you know, write up, et cetera, et cetera. Nowadays, though, there would be some parents and people that were upset about the main guy smoking a cigar all the time and some minor stupid things like that. But there was nothing that people could really write bad about this.
Now this is going to start up my next, bit here is going to start up our argument about, DVD versus streaming. But, as far as the DVD releases for this, it's been released in multiple countries outside of the US. It was, two 9-inch box sets released. Three discs that were also available separately. The discs were released without any region coding. The first set contained 9 of the 10 episodes from season 2. Essentially, what you need to know is on December 14th, 2009, the first season of The Raccoons is released on iTunes in Canada. Well, of course, on April 19th, 2010, the first season is also released in iTunes in the United States. The first 2 seasons are released on DVD to Netflix in the United States. Now, when I first read that on Wikipedia, I was like, okay, to Netflix. The Raccoons. It's not on... What the hell? But it's DVD... Netflix's DVD rental program that it's on. It's not on the streaming, which I found to be really dumb. having to meet me to resort to crappy YouTube quality clips. So that's the DVD stuff. I think we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to give our final thoughts.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
For you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Final thoughts on the Raccoons of Canada, sir?
I liked it as a kid. At a certain time when, you're, like I said, transitioning from stuff like Smurfs and getting more into, it was a lot along the time of Care Bears and My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake and some of those, that my sister was into. This was kind of, a little bit more mature into, the environment stuff, which at the time was something different for me. I hadn't really been exposed to Captain Planet or anything like that. So it seemed different, cool. I liked it. I don't think it's terrible nowadays. I still think part of it's would work. Obviously the YouTube quality is crappy, so you'd need some better quality stuff, but it's kind of timeless stuff, the whole industrial versus environment. So that part of it works. Is it one of the best 80s cartoons ever? No, but it's a pretty high quality, and it's amongst the other Canadian stuff, it had a lot of success. 60 episodes or whatever that it got out over 5 seasons. So it's not like it was a one season wonder. It was around for either in live, not live, but either in new episodes or syndication or reruns. It was around for 10 to 11 years. So something has to be said for that. Now, that doesn't just happen to every show, as we see a lot lately when shows get canceled after one or two seasons.
Thundercats!
This one, G.I. Joe Renegades, etc. This one, lasted a good 5-6 years if you count the specials, and then, syndication for another 3-5 years. So it's worth a page in the animation history books.
Cool.
Not a chapter, but a page.
Yeah. Page and a half or a half page, something
there
like that.
There we go. We'll half in there somewhere.
You got anything you want to promote before we close out?
Yeah. All our other shows, and of course, BehindTheVoiceActors.com. We should have a bunch of Halloween stuff coming out real soon for Behind the Voice Actors. So maybe some specials and movies and voice compares related to Halloween and that good stuff.
Cool. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There's always get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. Send us feedback via email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is Steve, Drew, and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the general network updates and news retweets from Blogomatic 3000. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we head back to real time to talk about How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh my.
Yeah. Talk about some fire breathers right there. For now, I am DF2 and Mike with...
The Optimus Solo.
I don't know what Han would have to say about that. But okay then. Thank you for listening. Until next time.